Have you ever had a situation where you turn on the nightly news and the announcer says, "And now the nightly news with Lester Holt," and then when they cut away to Lester Holt, it's not him, it's somebody else? And it's always kind of disappointing because you're used to seeing Lester Holt do the nightly news. Well, that may be kind of what we are experiencing here today, because you are tuning in to see your Wednesday night class with Michael Whittington, and you're all excited about seeing him, but tonight it's not Michael Whittington. It's Chuck that's going to be here, so I hope that's not disappointing to you. We do have a class, though, and hopefully it will be good for everyone. So the other thing about this is doing a class online like this, I was like, coming into it, do I stand up? Do I sit down? Is it like you're preaching? You know, there's no audience here. I didn't have anybody else to sit here with me on a Zoom, so I wasn't sure exactly what to do. So I just got a table and got our mountains out of the middle school room, and maybe we'll all be okay with this together. This is how I'm going to start the class tonight. First of all, you have to consider that I work with middle school, I teach middle school, I taught third grade for 19 years. I've been called the oldest teenager here at this church, so my mind kind of works like a teenager or even a third grader. So I'm gonna begin this class with something that might seem very juvenile to you. I'm gonna share with you a video that I made for the elementary kids here at church. It's a silly story, almost a ridiculous kind of story, but it has a good message. And I've always said that when I teach middle schoolers, I teach them things that I would teach to adults. So this is my test on that if I teach adults, I guess I'll teach them things that I would teach to my middle schoolers. So I'm gonna share a video with you. Like I said, it is kind of silly, but it really does have a great message. So listen to the silly story that I'm going to share and the application of it. And then when that video is finished playing, we will continue on with our class. So now, the story for you, it is called The Parable of the Purple Blob. Hey guys, it's Chuck here. I'm in your Sunday morning classroom, just kind of enjoying myself here. The problem is there's nobody here, it's just me. But I kind of thought that I would like to tell you a story, and then maybe I can send this to you so you can enjoy the story. Would that be okay with you? All right, this is one of my favorite stories. I tell it every year to some of my kids at Lipscomb. It's called The Parable of the Purple Blob. Now I have to warn you, this might be a little bit scary, but it'll be okay. I think you're gonna enjoy it. I do also want to tell you this is not a true story. It's a pretend. It's just made up. But it has a real message to it. What I want you to do is listen carefully for the message, because the message is real. So enjoy the story, but look for the message and see how the message relates to something in real life. And so now let me tell you the parable of the purple blob. One time there was a dad, he needed a can of soup off of a shelf down in the basement. He asked his son, he had said, "Hey son, will you go down and get that can of soup for me?" The son said, "I'm not going down there. It's scary down there. It's dark and I'm afraid." He said, "Well, take your sister with you." So the boy and the girl, they both went down the stairs. They went down into the cellar. They got the light turned on and they found the can of soup that they were gonna bring back to their dad. But as they were getting ready to go back up, they looked over on the shelf, and sitting on the shelf was a little purple blob. They didn't know what it was. It almost looked like Jell-O, but it's not. And it was just sitting on the shelf, and they said, "What is that?" And the boy said, "I don't know what that is." And the girl said, "Touch it." And he said, "I'm not gonna touch it." And so he found a stick, and he took the stick and he poked the purple blob. When he poked it, you know, the purple blob grew bigger. And the girl said, "Did you see that? I think it grew bigger." "No," the boy said, "it didn't grow bigger." So he poked it again, and it continued to grow bigger and bigger. And the girl said, "I know that the purple blob has grown bigger now." And the boy took it and he knocked it off onto the floor, and it grew even bigger again. And the girl said, "This is really strange. Every time you poke that purple blob, it just gets bigger." Well, the boy and girl decided they better go tell their dad. So they ran upstairs. They said, "Dad, Dad, you got to see this purple blob. Every time we poke it, it gets bigger." And Dad said, "I don't believe that." So he went down there to look at it. And sure enough, sitting on the floor now is a big purple blob. And Dad said, "That's strange." And he kind of took his foot and he kicked it a little bit with his foot. And of course, you know what it did. It shook and it jiggled and it got bigger. And Dad said, "We got to get this out of the basement." So he went over and got his shovel and he said, "I need to chop it in half and see if I can carry it out with the shovel." So he took the shovel and he jabbed it with the shovel, trying to chop it in half. But as he chopped it in half, the purple blob just got bigger. Now it's covering the whole basement. And Dad keeps trying to shovel it and taking pieces out, but he can't get them out. And by the time he was done trying that, it now was filling up the entire basement of their house. Dad said, "This isn't good." He said, "Let me go check with the neighbor. He always knows what to do." So he went next door to the neighbor. He said, "You got to come see this." The guy walked in. He said, "Wow, I've never seen this before." He said, "I have an idea. Let's see if we can cut it up with a chainsaw." So he got his chainsaw, going, and took it and started cutting down through that purple blob. And he would cut it here and cut it there and cut it there. And the chainsaw would just go right through it. And by the time he was done, the purple blob was from floor to ceiling and was pushing out the door of the house. Well, the neighbor said, "I don't know what to do. Let's go ask the other neighbor." So he went over to the other neighbor. The other neighbor said, "I know what to do. Let's burn it." So he got some gasoline and threw it, and they tried to light it where it was coming out of the house. But you know, as the fire burned, that purple blob just grew and grew and grew, and now it was completely surrounding the entire house. He said, "I don't know what to do." He said, "I know. I have a friend who's a scientist." So he called his friend. He said, "Come over. You got to see this. We've never seen it before." So his friend came over. He took his little knives and his petri dishes, and he started trying to cut a sample so he could take an experiment with it. So he would try to cut it, and every time that he would cut the purple blob, it would shake and it would jiggle and it would grow bigger. Now, not only was it covering the first house, it was starting to cover the second two houses, and it was reaching up more than two stories into the sky. Well, the scientist said, "You know, this is not anything I can take care of. You're going to have to go bigger than me." He said, "Try calling the firemen. Maybe they'll know what to do." So they called the firemen. The firemen came in their fire truck, the sirens going. They got out and they said, "Wow, we've never seen this before." And they got their hoses out and they said, "Let's see if we can just wash it away." So they turned their water hoses on and they sprayed the purple blob and sprayed it and sprayed it and sprayed it. And after a minute or two of that, guess what? It was bigger. It shook and it jiggled and it grew bigger. Now it was covering three houses. Almost an entire block was covered with the purple blob. The firemen said, "We don't know what to do. Call the National Guard." So they called the National Guard, and the National Guard came with their Jeeps and their tanks, and they had hand grenades. They said, "Let's see if we can just blow it up." So they took their hand grenades and threw it at it, and it would explode. But all that would happen was the purple blob just got bigger and bigger. Now it's covering two city blocks. This thing is growing huge. People are starting to gather around. News trucks are showing up. They're doing news stories about it on the news. People are everywhere. The police came and they took their tape and they taped off the entire area around the purple blob. And they said, "Don't anybody go close to this. It might take over the whole world." Well, as people are gathering and as people are getting afraid, there was one mother who was walking her little 3-year-old girl down the road. The 3-year-old girl had her little stuffed animal with her, and they're walking down the road. Well, mom got so interested in this purple blob that she forgot to watch where her daughter was. And her daughter was wandering around, went under the police tape, and walked right up to the side of the purple blob. When she looked in it, she noticed it was kind of shiny, and it kind of jiggled, and she could see her reflection in it. And when she saw her reflection, it kind of, like, as it moved, her head got taller, and then it got short and fat and then tall again. And she thought that was so funny. She just laughed and laughed. She thought that there was somebody in the purple blob that was playing with her, and she was loving it. Well, like all good girls do, she had been taught to share what she had, and she had her little stuffed animal. And so, wanting to share with this person that she thought was in the purple blob, she held out the stuffed animal and she said, "Here, do you want to play with my stuffed animal?" Well, the stuffed animal touched the purple blob. And when it did, the purple blob shook and it jiggled. But you know what? It didn't get bigger. It got smaller. It shrunk in size, which just made the reflection move more, and the girl just laughed more, and she held it out again because she continued to want to play. And when the stuffed animal touched the purple blob again, it shrunk. And every time that it would touch the purple blob would shrink and it would get smaller. And then it was smaller than the house. And then it shrunk down to the basement. And then it shrunk down until eventually it was just the small purple blob sitting on the floor of the basement. And you know, to this day, nobody in that world knows what made it grow, and nobody knows what made it shrink. But you know what? I think you and I know. We know what made the purple blob grow. It was every time that somebody did something mean to the purple blob. They poked it with a stick, they kicked it with their foot, they tried to cut it with a shovel, they tried to blow it up with hand grenades. Every time they did something mean to that purple blob, it grew bigger. And if they had continued to do that, it would have taken over the whole world. But there was one little girl who had been taught to share. And when she tried to share, when she tried to do something nice to the purple blob, well, then it started to shrink. That's when it began to get smaller and smaller until eventually it wasn't taking over the world anymore. Now, you know, I told you at the beginning there's a message in this story, and I'm hoping that you're already beginning to see that message. You see, sometimes people are like the purple blobs. You've had friends, I'm sure this has never happened to you, but you've had friends that get up, they can't find their shoes, and mom's like, "Where's your shoes? You had them last." And they're, "I don't know where my shoes are." And then they're in trouble because they didn't put their shoes away. And what do? They get mad. And they begin to pout and their eyebrows frown. And they start saying, "Leave me alone. I don't want to go to school. I don't want to see anybody." But of course they have to go to school. And they walk into school and they're mad. And they walk in and somebody says, "Good morning. How are you today?" And they say, "It's not a good morning. I don't want to talk to you." Well, when they say that to their friend, what does their friend do? Their friend says, "Well, I don't want to talk to you either then." And now there's two of them who are mad. You see, the purple blob starts to grow. And then those two say something mean to two other friends. And now there's four who are mad. And before long, the entire class is mad. Everybody's mad at each other. Nobody knows why. But they're just all mad at each other. And they're all fussing. And eventually the teacher gets mad. And the teacher starts yelling at them that they're all being mean and everybody has to stop. And then the teacher talks to another teacher and complains, and then that teacher gets mad. And before you know it, the entire school is mad because one purple blob started that morning. You see, when we get angry and when we treat other people the wrong way, it spreads. It makes everybody get mad, and then everybody starts to get upset. But you know what? If one person will come in, when somebody is treating them bad, when somebody's being mean to them, if one person will come in and say, "I know you're having a bad day. I just want to help you. Just take time. Here, do you need a pencil?" And when they yell at them about the pencil, say, "Here, do you need some paper?" If that person will keep being nice, if that person will keep doing the right thing, that giant purple blob will begin to shrink. And then it's not the whole class who's mad. There's two of them who aren't mad. And then those two begin to be nice to others. And then there's more that's not mad. And before long, this giant purple blob that's taking over the whole school shrinks down until really nobody's mad anymore. You see, when we respond with good to people who are treating us bad, we can stop what's going on inside of them. We can help change them from being the angry purple blob to just being a nice person. So you see, our job when we go to school is to make sure that we help fight the purple blob. You might be able to save the world by fighting that purple blob. Now, you know, I told you that the purple blob's a pretend story, and you kind of see how it relates to life. Let me tell you another story where this purple blob is real. This happened to my son when he was in second grade. He went to Ezel Harding, And I went to eat lunch with him one day. And at the time there, when you went to eat with your children, they would bring them over to another table and you would eat with them there. And they got to bring one friend with them. Well, that's nice to bring one friend over. But the problem when you can bring one friend is you have a bunch of other friends you didn't choose. And so Chaz and his friend are sitting here and I'm sitting with them. And I can see his friends at the other table from where I'm sitting. And they're all mad. And their eyebrows are frowning and they're sticking their tongue out at him when they think I'm not looking. And they're just kind of being mean to him. Well, what do you think happened to Chaz? Same thing. He becomes part of the purple blob. And he tells his friend, and what does his friend do? Same thing. He becomes a part of the purple blob. Now, everybody's mad at everybody. And I told Chaz, I said, Chaz, they're all mad at you. You have to do something nice. And he said, I don't want to do something nice to them. They're being mean to me. I said, no, you have to do something nice. And so he had a cookie on his plate. He said, okay, I'll go give him a cookie. And so he got up, he took his cookie over, and as he walked up to his friend went like this. He thought he was going to throw the cookie at him. And Chaz said, here's a cookie. And he gave him the cookie. Well, his friend looked at the cookie and looked at Chaz, and he had this confused look on his face, because when you're treating somebody bad, they're not supposed to be nice to you. He didn't know what to do. And so he looked at the cookie again, and he looked at Chaz again, and then he saw some potato chips on his plate, and he picked those up, and he walked over, and he put those on Chaz's plate. And Chaz started to laugh, and the guy started to laugh, and then Chaz's friend started laughing. And he took some food and went over and put it on their plate. And they brought some more over here. Before long, the teacher's over there yelling at him, you're not supposed to be sharing food. But you know, everybody was laughing. Nobody was mad anymore. And when that lunch was over, they all got up. They all walked out as friends. And everything was good. You see, the purple blob was growing because of something that had happened. And it was spreading through everyone. But when Chaz was forced to do something nice in return, instead of that purple blob growing, then it began to shrink. And in that case, it happened within a lunchtime that it was able to shrink so much that nobody was mad anymore. You see, guys, here's what I'm telling you. When things don't go your way, don't become a purple blob. When other people are becoming a purple blob, help them. Do something nice to them. Do something good for them, and you can begin to change their attitude. You change the mood that they're in. Instead of being like this, they get like this, because you can defeat the purple blob. Well, I hope you enjoyed that video. Of course, again, it was made for our elementary kids, but you know, there is a lot of truth to that story. I mean, the second story we told about Chaz, that was something that really happened, which was a whole idea of that purple blob. You know, I found myself with my third grader saying a lot, this is a pretend story, and I would say, but you know, this is real. And then I would say, this is a pretend story, and I would say, but you know, this is real. This really happens. And I think we have to make sure we understand in our mind that this is something that really does happen. You know, if I was thinking about this, if I wrote that parable for adults, it probably wouldn't be a purple blob. It would probably be like little demons that hang on your back. And it would be, as you communicate with people in a negative way, they jump off of your back and jump onto somebody else's back. That would be a much darker story, but it still is a very accurate description of what happens with us in this world. For example, if you've ever, and I say if you've ever, this has happened to all of us, when you go out and you are dealing with, say, somebody at Kroger, and they're kind of angry, and they say something angry to you, what do you immediately do? Well, you immediately, and I say you in general, some of you are well past this class, but we immediately get angry back. Like, we respond with the same thing that we get from them. So if they're angry at us, we immediately become angry at them. If they're aggressive with us, if somebody's really aggressive, you start to kind of get aggressive back at them. If somebody has smart aleck remarks, like you get a call on the phone and somebody's saying things that are kind of rude to you, well, we start to say rude things back. we begin to act the same way we got. People who are negative all the time, they're always saying negative things. You often walk away from them almost feeling dirty, like you're just negative about everything around you. It's because what you were experiencing, you take on to yourself. Vindictive behavior can make us become vindictive. One time I was at McDonald's, and the manager at McDonald's became very angry and was yelling at one of the workers. And it caused me to become angry. Like, I started getting very upset, and I think I was beginning to experience more what the worker was experiencing, where I was like, quit treating them that way. Don't be like that. It had nothing to do with me. I wasn't a part of it at all. And yet just witnessing this caused me to start experiencing those emotions within myself. And I remember one time I was with some friends, and they began, we were talking about somebody else, it wasn't gossip. We were needing to decide something, and they were talking negatively about this person. And I walked away saying, yeah, you know, they're right. They're probably not a good fit for this. And then a little while later, I was with another group who was talking very positive about the person. And I walked away from them going, you know, they're right. They're a pretty good person for this. And I thought, wait a second. It was all based on the group I was with, not the person that we were talking about. One group talked negative, and I developed the negative view. Another group talked positively. I developed the positive view. We are just so controlled by those around us. It has such an impact on us. Like in the story of the purple blob, that blob takes over. And the attitudes of people around us, they tend to take over everything. Their actions and their attitudes become ours. Like we take those on to ourselves. And so a lot of times I think we aren't even in control of how we view things around us. And the scary part of that means that Satan can have a lot to do with how we act and what we do in our life. There's a thing in psychology called mirror neurons. Neurons are things that are in our brain. And scientists back in about 2000 discovered something they call mirror neurons. And these neurons, when they see something, they begin to take that on as a personal experience with you. It began with studying some monkeys, and not saying that we are monkeys at all, but it started with monkeys. And they had these electrodes implanted in the brain of the monkey. And when the monkey would eat a banana, there would be certain response within the brain. And they noticed that if somebody else, and it happened where somebody took a banana and was eating while they were doing this study, the monkey watching somebody eat the banana had the same firing of those synapses in their brain as when they were actually eating the banana. And they realized that there's something within the monkey that seeing something could produce the same feelings as actually doing that. And that was caused by the mirror neurons. They begin to study that in humans, and they realize that the same kind of thing does happen with us. That when we witness certain things, our mind takes that in as if we were actually the ones either doing that or suffering from that. So when we see somebody become angry, we can actually become angry. You may have witnessed this when you see people laughing. A lot of times you begin to laugh, you don't even know why you're laughing. It's just that they were laughing, and that you mirror that, and it becomes a part of what you do. So we see that even science says that this idea of the great purple blob, that it's true. That the things that people around us do, their feelings and their emotions, it has a huge impact on us. It becomes a part of who we are and how we conduct our life. These mirror neurons, a lot of scientists, and this is still early in the study of those things, but a lot of scientists say empathy comes from that. The cravings that we have when we see somebody else eating something, or they've studied smokers who have quit smoking and they see somebody else smoking, and those mirror neurons begin to create that desire within them. Fear and depression, There are a lot of people who develop fears, who've never been through an experience with that fear, but they develop it because they witness other people going through that or that depression. Even with children, they have inherited psychological trauma where they were not psychologically damaged by going through the process, but they were children of parents who went through some process and they inherit that. They can mirror those same fears, the same trauma, and it actually becomes a part of who they are because of what they saw through other people. So you can see that this idea, this theory of the purple blob is actually very real. We can be greatly controlled and greatly influenced by the people that we're around. The depression of people can rub off on us, the anger, all of those things can affect who we are and affect the way that we act. Now, here's the other side of that, is that it doesn't always have to be the bad. Sometimes it can be good things. There was one study done that where they said that if you are around people who are constantly happy, you have a 15% greater chance of being a happy person yourself. So there seems to be the idea that it also works when you're around happy people, that you begin to mirror that kind of happiness. And we've all had experiences where being around positive people, we begin to mirror those positive responses. So we need to be very aware of what goes on around us in this world so that we are aware of what causes us to react different ways. Mark Twain had a quote. He said, "Stay away from people who try to belittle your ambitions. Small people always will do that. But the really great people make you feel that you can become great yourself." And I think Mark Twain was saying kind of what we're talking about here. You're around people that are negative, they will make you negative. But you're around people who believe in you and who encourage you, then you will become what you can become from that. Now, I have four things to keep in mind as you are thinking about this process that we've talked about here. Four things to do about when you face the great purple blob that's out there in the world. Number one, fight the mirroring that you're exposed to. Be very aware of the fact that the people you're around, if you're at work and there's people who complain all the time, be aware of that. Begin to fight against that. If somebody comes in and they're in a really bad mood and you feel yourself starting to develop that same bad mood, fight against that. Say to yourself, this is the purple blob trying to take over the world, and begin to fight that process. You know, road rage is a big part of this whole concept. And there are times that somebody will cut you off or they'll pull out in front of you and you feel the grip on the steering wheel get tighter and you begin to breathe and you start to get angry about it. Just relax. Just say, no, I'm not going to do that. Just begin to let it go. We've got to be able to fight against that mirroring where we don't let it affect us and take over us. Sometimes somebody will say that smart aleck remark to us, and we just want to say something dumb back to them, just kind of put them in their place. When those things happen, take that deep breath, just relax a little bit, and say, no, I'm not going to respond in that same way. I'm going to fight against that purple blob taking over, and I'm going to work to be the other side, to be the little girl that begins to shrink the purple blob and begins to make it go away. So in your life, fight against the mirroring that you are tempted to do. Try to choose to be around those that are worth mirroring. When you have friends who have the right kind of attitudes, be around them. That's the whole idea of fellowship. Look for that fellowship where you're around the good people. I remember a guy telling me one time, he said, when I was growing up on the farm, he said, we would sometimes And he grew up at a time when they would actually take their oxen or their cattle and they would plow with them. And he said sometimes you would have a young ox that was kind of wild and out of control, and it was hard to get it to do what it was supposed to do. He said what they would do is they would put it on a yoke with an older, a well-controlled oxen, and the two of those together would begin to plow together. And he said the older cattle or the older ox will have a calming impact on that younger one, that it will actually help the younger ox to get in line and begin to act the way that it's supposed to act. And maybe sometimes we're just like those cattle. We just need to be around people who are in control. And we begin to then mirror the good that's around us. We begin to act the way that they act so that we are in control and we are we're doing the thing that we should do. So we want to fight the bad mirroring and put ourselves in positions where we have the good mirroring that we can do. Mirror the good things around you, not just the people, but the good things you can do. There was an experiment done one time, and you got to kind of think about this setup here. They took a car with an older lady in it, and they let all the air out of the tire, and they had her stand beside the car, where if you drove down the road, it was obvious that here was an older lady that needed help changing a tire. And she would just stand there, and the scientists would get up, and they watched, and they would check how many people would stop to help the lady change a tire. And there was a good number of people. I studied this years ago. I don't remember the actual numbers, but you know, a lot of people would drive by, and then some people would stop and would help her change the tire. And then the next day, they got the same lady, same car, same flat tire, and they had them there on the road, but they went down the road about a half a mile to a mile, and they put another car with another flat tire and another old lady standing there needing a tire changed. But this time, they put a second car and they had somebody there changing the tire. So in this case, you're driving down the road, it was obvious that somebody had stopped to help the old lady change the tire on the car. And so you drive by and you witness this, and then a mile later, all of a sudden, you witness another lady who needs the tire changed, except this time nobody's helping. And what they wanted to find out was, did that increase the number of people who would stop to help? And what they found out is that it did. Almost twice as many people would stop to help after witnessing something good being done. It kind of prepared them to then be a servant and stop to help. So that works for two ways with us. One, when you see good things happening around you, just go ahead and say, I saw that, I liked that, I'm going to do it, and begin to do the good things. That's a great way to just mirror the good things around us. We see something good, let's go do it ourselves. And then we spread the goodness in the world. Or just, and the whole idea of this lesson is so that you're thinking about it, you begin to think, I need to look for good things to do. And so then you see that opportunity. Well, you go and you do something good. You become the one that is worthy of being mirrored because you're doing the good things out there. So mirror the things that you see that are good or the things that you're thinking about. You know, I should do this. You mirror that. You do that in this world, and that will help a lot of people. And then feed good into that purple blob. Just feed good into it. Look for things that you can say. When you go to the convenience store and there's somebody who's kind of grouchy back there, look for something good to say to them. Say something positive. Tell them you hope they're having a good day. Compliment them in some way. We need to just start looking for the good that we can feed into that purple blob. Look for things you can do. Helping your neighbor if you see something. Their garbage can is still out on the road and maybe it needs to be brought up to the house. Just look for things that you can do where you're doing good things, where you're doing the things that would begin to make people feel better if they're experiencing the problem with the purple blob. And then look to give good. There are a lot of things we can do where we just give good things to people. Sometimes it's paying for their food, or sometimes it's taking them food, or just doing something that's going to be beneficial and that's going to be helpful to people. So those are ways that we can begin to shrink the purple blobs that are out there, begin to make an impact on the world around us. And of course, what we haven't said here is ultimately we do this because we are wanting the message of Jesus Christ to get out into the world. And if we are simply a victim of the purple blobs out there, we are being controlled by Satan, we're being controlled by our circumstances, and we are not shining the light of God into this world. When we overcome those things, when we're no longer controlled by the purple blob or the mirroring neurons in our brain that wants us to just act like everybody else, when those don't control us, then we begin to reflect the light of God. We're more able to share Jesus, which is ultimately what we are wanting to be able to do. To do that, we've got to really think about this whole process and make sure we're ready for this. Here's what I want you to do. We're going to continue this same topic next week in next week's class. Think about experiences that you may have had where the purple blob tried to get you and you overcame it, or you did something good that helped settle somebody else down. I would love to hear some of those stories that we could share next week of where things were changed by the right kind of action, or where we made a mistake by following the wrong thing. If you have a story like that, will you share that with me this week? My email address is chuck.chisholm, that's C-H-I-S-A-M, @gmail.com. And if you want to just send those stories to me next week, maybe we could share some of those stories. But I would like to continue to this same topic next week and talk about some other ways that we resist being controlled by the things around us, and that we actually are proactive in being able to shape the way that we act in our lives. Next week we'll continue this thought, and hopefully this has been good, and hopefully that will continue to be good. I have to say, as I started into this lesson, getting ready for it, at one moment I thought, why in the world am I doing this? We're all in our homes, we're not spending much time out, we're social distancing, which prevents us from being impacted much about that. But I just couldn't get this thought out of my mind. So I really think that this week there's going to be a lot of instances where all of us have the opportunity to either respond with the bad or respond with the good. And so I'm saying to you this week, there's going to be a moment when you're like, oh no, I'm starting to act like what somebody else is acting like. Just think about what we've talked about here. Resist that, replace it with something good, respond with feeding good into this world, and give the glory to God with that as you overcome those bad things. And next week, let's continue to talk about this, and let's make sure no purple blobs are growing out there in our world.